Bones are amazing things. They hold us up. They support us. They make us strong. But bones have other uses. In the past, bones were thrown by diviners, seeking out the mysteries of the future. Now the bones are cubes, made of plastic or resin, but they still reveal things to us. As they fall from our fingers and rattle across the table, the story becomes clear. Welcome to Bone Throwers Theater, an RPG actual play podcast.
Thank you for joining us again for Bone Throwers Theater. I am Carlin. I play Dran, conscious, unconscious, conscious, runner.
Crazy. My name is Stephanie, and I play Miranda Kristoff.
My name is Jeff. I'm playing Sergeant Willis Awesome Tree Masters.
This is Johnny. I play Professor Edric Farthings.
And this is Jeremy playing Captain Orion James.
And I'm Jordan, and I am the GM. So guys, we've just finished another session of play, and this one really didn't go anywhere where I was expecting it to go.
Which we could tell from how much your posture was just with your head in your hands.
Yeah, there was a lot of like, oh my god, what are they doing? Honestly, when I planned this session, I was thinking, oh yeah, we're gonna go ahead and have a nice little fight in the cavern, and
I was trying to get us there.
Yeah, things just kind of happened, not
escalated.
Work out that way
quickly, so.
Very quickly.
So did you guys have a good time?
Yeah.
I'm a little apprehensive now.
It's been a while.
You're
since...
You're gonna die.
Yep.
It's been a while since we've had something that intense going on.
Yeah.
So
I was talking to Jeff beforehand. I was like, saw the potential going in. It's like, things are gonna get really hairy really quickly with this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah.
And they did.
Yeah.
Yep.
Sorry to pin you there, Carlin.
Well, I'm gonna be honest. Out of character, I was hoping that someone would be able to subdue Dran, like, as quick as possible. You know what I mean? Because I didn't want it to get to a point where people are killed, or whoever's killed, mm-hmm. like, from my perspective outside of game.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I had to be the character, and I'm Dran would not stop
in
this situation. So I just kept going until I'm like, someone,
stop
well,
me.
You and Jordan kind of got into a back and forth. Well, Burntail's going to do this. Dran's going to do this. And then the rest of us were kind of sitting there like,
can I do something?
Sorry. That was a fault of mine. I should have, as soon as that started, we should have broken out initiative. But
good point. Yeah.
But we just kind of got lost in the moment. And so things just kind of just escalated beyond. It got confusing there for
Dude,
a moment.
My tackle was awesome, though.
It was a good tackle.
Well, it's kind of made an interesting thing that the only ones that really reacted were the ones that were at the Jaguar camp, with the exception of Jindal, who was more concerned about just
everybody in general. Yeah.
But if you know, it's like Himmel just didn't do anything. He was just like,
What?
Himmel, the new orbital.
He's got a little bit
more
courage.
We don't know what the real Himmel's like,
Himmel,
do we?
Bad Himmel.
Yeah, we don't know what the real Himmel's like.
Sorry.
And from now on, we're going to be guessing, are we talking to the real Himmel or not?
No, I think Dran will be guessing.
Yeah.
Is he talking to the real Himmel or
Dran
not?
Will be guessing.
Which I kind of don't know where that's going, honestly. I don't... There are obviously a lot of things that could be happening there.
What did you think of that little twist?
Well, I was confused. I'm still confused.
I was a little confused about that, too. I was like,
well, so I was confused.
As soon as you got the hero point, I knew exactly what was going on.
The hero point, I thought it was like, okay, is he asking them to kill Himmel or Robinson?
Right.
As the first thought. And then when you said Himmel, Dran said Himmel's name, and then Robinson asked for him, and then he heard him from behind, he was like, huh.
Let's see.
Yeah.
What is going on here?
The hero point was given out when Robinson opened the tent flap and said, who are you talking to? Then Carlin was handed the hero point. So that's when I knew that at that moment. because Jordan wasn't responding as Himmel. He was just gave him a hero point. So that's when I knew right away that it was the crazy aspect coming through.
Yeah. And I caught on to that because of our fiasco game that we played that one time where Johnny and Jeremy, your characters ended up being the same person. Two personalities in one head. So
that was so awesome.
It was.
I think it would be interesting if the ghost in Dran's head, Himmel, started changing into different people as well.
Oh.
I see he starts losing everybody in camp.
How crazy then are you, Dran?
Then Dran wouldn't be able to keep track of who is
doing what.
Doing what, if it's real or not.
Right. And Dran is paranoid, so therefore he would suspect everybody of doing anything.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I blame myself. I stood up to him.
threw off his worldview, yeah.
So is it... Interesting change, too. I don't know if you intended it this way, Carlin, but the last time where we left off was when Farthing stood up to Dran, and then immediately now he's looking for someone else in the science team to pull into his inner circle.
Well, that was just an inner, like, thrown in front of me
it
when
really was,
Jordan
yeah.
kind of threw Himmel in there, and I was like, okay, well,
here's Himmel approached Dran. Jordan's been plotting this from the beginning.
Yes, I knew that he was going crazy. I mean, he wrote that on his character sheet, so... Right. So,
how crazy is this crazy, though?
How crazy is crazy? So, my thought was, you know, we're just going to go ahead and play this and see where it goes. The thing is that we've been having, like, this discussion going on behind the scenes on the Facebook page about what people are looking for in terms of trust from the other characters. Like, Edric trusts anybody who's interested in science. And actually, Jeremy was the one who brought this up. Do you want to go through the list of what you came up with?
We were having a discussion in another group about the trust, intricate levels of trust within the characters.
Yeah.
Well, and how the GM uses that to write plot.
Well, yeah, and I started thinking about our characters and who we trust, and I thought about first, obviously, I mean, how Orion has responded. It's like he trusts anybody who has a respect for authority. And if you notice, as in the previous episodes when he was in the Jaguar camp and didn't trust the Jaguars, but as soon as he got the idea of how their authority structure works and their chief kind of said, well, this is how we work, and I understand how you work, but let's work together now. He sort of had a respect for that. He was like, all right, I can go along with this. So, and then, obviously, being a doctor and having Miranda having her code, she has a respect for anybody, has a respect for human life.
Mm-hmm.
And anybody who butts head with that, she automatically loses respect for.
Yeah.
and then... As far as things, obviously, his focus is science, but anyway, who's going to pretty much give him leeway to do what he needs to do science-wise, he's going to have respect for. And then we got to Willis, and I said...
It wasn't respect, it was trust.
Oh, trust, yeah.
Yeah.
Up until this past session, Willis Masters has been given has pretty much trusted anybody, which is how that first conflict came about, because he was trusting that Miranda was telling him the right thing to do when he should have been doing something else. And then Dran pretty much doesn't trust anybody but himself.
Mm-hmm. And even now.
Well, and then I thought about, well, no, he trusted Wendy. But then I was like, no, he trusted Wendy after he got Wendy to think how he wanted Wendy to think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So
he trusts his own ability to manipulate people.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have to be in this camp. You have to be assimilated, kind of.
Well, and also one of the things that I pointed out in the conversation was that it's not so much about trust with the characters, it's about who gives the characters respect.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which is kind of tying into what you were saying about respect earlier. Because Miranda is looking for respect from a medical standpoint. Edric is looking for respect from the scientific community. Dran just wants to be respected because he is... He was not the first person picked for this mission. And Orion wanted to be respected because of problems that he had in the actual military. And this was his last chance for promotion. You know, so all of these different things are working So when the characters don't get the respect that they think that they need from the other players, then that's where the issues of trust come in. So, you know, it's this kind of symbiotic thing where you guys are, you're doing a great job. And just so everybody who's listening knows, we really, as a group, trust each other to play the characters well. You know, I think that as a group, we have a very strong rapport. And we know, you know, that we're all coming to the table with the best interest of each other's play get characters in mind. And the best interests of the game story itself. So we're willing to trust each other when things come up that doesn't seem like it's going to work out well for our characters.
Yeah, that's why I was trusting that someone would subdue Duran. I'm like, don't let him die.
Come on. Well, yeah, that's it. I mean, if you notice the change in what I had Orion do, Orion pulled the pistol to try and intimidate Duran to lowering his weapon. As soon as that was an option, he didn't go and just start shooting.
Yeah,
he went to kick the rifle out, grab the knife, kind of.
It was sort of it became a more physical thing.
Yeah,
it was a halt action type altercation.
Prevent action.
Yeah, and it was just wow. It we've had some intense sessions, and we say this all the time, but each session focuses on something different.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think this was the first like intense session that completely derailed the train of thought of what was going intended. It was more of the past sessions were more of, okay, we've got this focus. Whoa, we've got to deal with this. All right, we're back on track. This one was, all right, let's plan this. What just happened? How do we go forward from here?
Yeah.
Kind of thing. It really threw a wrench into.
Well, and even from the separated members of the party, same thing. Yeah, I don't. I have no ideas how to go forward from that.
I'm just upset that Dran has the grenades.
Yeah. Well, he did have the
grenades. Not anymore.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't have them.
Who knows who has the grenades now?
You're going to have to find those, Edric.
Someone disarmed them.
Oh, they're just going to get put back with the other grenades.
Oh, no!
Yep. Most likely.
So there's just going to be chucked willy-nilly.
Like, it's obvious that they're smoke grenades, but.
Yeah.
That's about it.
Yep.
Oh, dear. Not to hijack the conversation, but I just, like, last time we were talking about how I played Miranda that time, and I was noticing, you know, like, I heard you guys when you were saying I was playing her a little off last time. And so I was trying to play her a little closer to form this time. I figured she's been here for 24 hours. Her tension levels are through the roof. She's getting pissy.
Yeah. Probably, yeah.
And yeah, you're all going to, yeah, to die. I get it.
I
really like that.
Yeah.
That was a good addition.
I like that abrupt switch from like, okay, I'm going to be patient. Then you take my patience and start hurting them. And that's when I lose it.
Yeah. Well,
did that make sense?
Well, yeah. Also, it happened after that one guy killed himself.
Right.
Yeah.
It was like, eventually they're going to find out that this guy's dead.
Well, the interesting thing too about that whole situation is, you know, you're in this threatening situation and you're in it for long enough of a time. So you've already gone through the portion of like panicking and being like, I might die. I got to do this. I got
to
do that.
Trying to be calm for other people around.
Right. But then when you said that thing about, yeah, I get it. We're all going to die. I get it. That's like, you're reaching the point where you're like, you went through your range of emotions already, and now you're just annoyed. Because it's just like,
like, well,
okay,
if we're
going
to die, let's get to it.
Yeah, exactly. Which is pretty funny and pretty cool.
Okay.
So.
I was just making sure, because I felt off last time I was playing her, so I wanted to make sure I was getting back to character.
All good.
That's cool. Let's talk about Willis.
Yeah.
Willis.
Honestly, since he came out of the tree, he has more opportunities to express himself.
Well, I think one of the big things is that, like we were talking about last commentary session, Orion really sees him as an asset now rather than just someone who can dig latrines.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
See, now he has more bark to his bite.
Well, and I was noticing, I'm sorry, I was looking over your character sheet.
Today.
But on your perks, you're a daredevil, and I haven't really seen you play it like a daredevil. Well,
there haven't been many opportunities for me to...
He was confined to the tent in the big fight.
No, it's true, yeah. But I just, like, now that you're actually come into your own as far as, like, having something to offer that's more than just a grunt, you're playing out that daredevil. You're stepping in front of the knife.
Yeah, that was my selflessness complication.
Or daredevil. So,
yeah, or either, yeah.
Yeah, it was...
That's both.
It was both, honestly. So, yeah, I got six.
Woo! Jordan took share? All, I'm out.
Jordan took all mine away for some reason.
Well, no, I was just piling them up in front of
Am I dead?
No.
So
I might be.
Here's a question about Willis. How much tree is he? It's like, if he did receive a cut... Would it be like a cut in a tree where, like...
Zap.
It...
No, he's still fully human.
Okay.
It's just that he's human plus.
Yeah.
So, how to best describe this? You know how, like, Dr. Manhattan in Watchmen?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's not necessarily the same thing. He can't, like, reassemble himself and everything.
But he cannot find clothes.
Right. Yes.
Well, I can grow moss in necessary places.
Oh, that's good. That saves us all.
Thanks for calling a lot to me.
Is it Spanish moss? Sorry.
Yeah, Spanish.
Do we have to talk about the softness of the
But no, I mean, the thing is that I see him as being fully human, but being extra human now. He has, like we've talked about before, he has the ability to photosynthesize.
Right.
His skin is completely green now, which...
Well, that's what I mean, like, well, his skin's green, but, like, is it a tougher skin, like a bark?
Yeah, it's a bit rougher, yeah.
Well, will it start getting darker as I grow in age and, like, growing bark?
Yeah, you'll grow rings. I mean...
Like,
how many weeks are we into the game time?
Yeah.
Like, I don't think you need to worry about that.
No, I mean, I don't think it'll be something that you really have to worry about.
Well, I'll be dead by then.
Right. You'll still be alive. If you cut off your arm, you'll natural, notice it has rings.
If it's an additional natural armor to him, like, the knife may not have hurt him as much.
No, it didn't. The knife didn't hurt him at all.
Well, the knife didn't hit him, but...
Yeah.
Like, well, if they had him, maybe it did not hurt him.
Something else I want to know. While I was being transformed inside the tree, was I given all the knowledge that the trees have?
No. You can talk to the trees. Like I said, you're the Dr. Doolittle of the trees.
It's Lorax.
It's more that... The canopy is not downloaded into your brain.
Okay.
The canopy is its own entity.
But they do have decades of knowledge.
Yeah, I mean,
from being trees.
I mean, most of it is, like, you know,
they're pretty old.
Yeah, mostly about like fires and rains and, you know, the seasons and things like that. But I mean, it does have the canopy only came into consciousness after the French flu pervasively spread through all of nature. So it's something that you
just
have to...
maybe, you know, 1,000 years or so, 2,000 years.
I mean, we've only had a few hundred years between when the French flu started and when...
Was it a few hundred? I thought you said 1,000, but...
Yeah.
Oh, was it 1,000?
Because there was nuclear bombardment.
It's been at least, like, 800
years.
Minimum of 800.
So, I mean, it's been probably about 400 to 600 years worth of tree knowledge is available in the canopy at this time.
Okay.
I do think that you are the first evolution of the tree people that we talked about in the future of the world.
Yeah.
But you are definitely not the... you don't have all of... Like, you don't have a hive consciousness with the trees like the bees do.
Okay. Didn't we talk about the... Like, there was a jaguar encased in a tree as well?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
With sunflower eyes.
Right.
Yeah.
So, you said he was the first evolution of, like, tree people.
Tree people.
Humans. Oh, got it. Okay.
Like, straight.
Like, the thing is that the jaguar is in the tree and communicates with the tree, but he has to be in the tree.
Yeah, it's not released.
This is the first...
mobile.
I just realized today that I haven't been, like, inflicting harm on myself or anything to try and do any of this magic that I'm trying to do.
Well, I mean, that's more of just...
Benefits of your friend's fluids.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of a, it's not mechanical in any way. I mean, we should say, what do you think that you do just in general? I mean, because Burntail, we don't say every time that she sticks her tail in fire. I mean, it's just kind of worked into her character, and we know that that happens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you still injured at all?
I don't think I was ever really injured. I mean,
yeah,
I was itchy from being sucked
Are you still burned?
I think that would have healed by now from the digestive fluids of
It's been like a plant. Day.
Yeah,
but he's
2 days, but
he's been through a complete metamorphosis.
Right.
Yeah.
He was in the tree for 24 hours.
He was exfoliated.
So
well, we can always pass it off as foliated. Like this is like his first few days of coming into his power, and then after that he's going to have to maintain or something. Or we could say it's because he's, you know,
or because well, it could just be the fact that I'm mostly human, so I can I don't know.
Maybe he sweats aloe.
Every time he performs magical acts, some of his hair falls out and leaves start growing.
Ew.
Whee.
Anyway.
Eventually all your hair will be replaced by leaves.
Or grass.
So let's talk about hero points or character points.
All right.
Character points.
So everybody gets four from me.
You said character points, right?
Yes. As far as role playing goes, I'd say role playing goes to Dran.
Yeah. To Carlin. Just for sticking out through the entire scenario, staying true to the character of Dran fighting tooth and nail, something that he is
adamant
not coming to grips with.
Right.
Adamantly, yeah.
Yeah, I'd say that Dran would get the best role playing, but Willis would get the most advancement of character.
Yeah. He got a promotion.
Let's stick with one at a time, and I would, for the best role playing, actually do Stephanie. Because even though she didn't have a lot of time, like we talked about, she was forward thinking and basically, like, going through all the emotions for the time period that had passed, basically, and got to the point where she was exacerbated with the situation that was going on and was basically like, I'm not really scared anymore. I'm just kind of like peeved. So now I'm just going to punch this mass of bees. So I would
not your smartest move.
But character, that's, you know, like
that's like one of those things where you're watching like a horror movie, and you know what's coming, and you're talking to the character, and be like, "Don't do it! Don't dang it! You did it!"
But they have to.
You know, the only reason she was staying home was that she was trying to like help these people, and then he got to he attacked the people, so she was like, "Well, screw it."
So that's my vote, Stephanie.
He didn't really attack the people.
They were screaming, and they were hovering in midair covered in bees. As far as she has seen from that MO, they die.
Yeah, maybe you just misunderstood it like a jaguar digging its claws into your shoulder.
And he was already threatening them. They were all going to die, and she was like, okay, well.
What say you, Jeremy?
I don't know. I really like the whole scene with Dran.
Which scene with Dran?
The meeting.
Yeah.
That was
sticking to his guns.
That was some pretty good role playing. Mm-hmm. I do see Carlin's point of, I really do like that progression in Miranda's sort of demeanor over time through, and then Willis is just having a sort of coming out of the shell kind of role playing that he's been doing this past session. So
going out on a limb.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, it just lends itself to puns.
He decided to leave his old self behind.
I would love to see, like, Willis Masters' diary. Dear diary, today was awesome. I got to ride on a pterodactyl, and I got to beat the crap out of a really annoying person in camp.
And I spoke to the tree.
And oh man, and the airplane, I got that down. Totally me.
Dude, that was awesome. I was like, hey, can you do this? And they were like, yeah, sure, why not?
It's good to have friends in high places.
Yeah.
In the canopy, if you will.
Oh, it's so bad.
Don't worry, they got you covered.
Oh, jeez.
I think you guys are going to have to deciduous one way or another. Are we going to...
The good thing is, with the color change, we know that Willis is evergreen.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
He's also camouflaged.
I don't know, Johnny, what's your take?
I say Dran. Not just for the the whole fight, but also when his interactions with Edric, with the whole convincing him to give the grenades to him.
Yeah, that was a pretty important part of the whole... You know, because we have these grenades rattling around in this fight with two people who have the French flu involved. Yeah. And it's one of those things where so much happened in this session that it's hard to...
Stop it!
Sorry.
You started a chain reaction. Now yeah. Everyone's yawning.
That's why I looked away.
Yeah, I was like...
What's your vote?
Oh, I already voted Dran.
Okay. Well, that's 3 for Dran right there, so...
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I get a point.
You do.
Yep.
Get a point for being crazy.
Yeah, I'm going to put it towards crazy.
For me, like, that was the biggest thing, is that Dran's paranoia really seemed to come out during this episode, and, like, especially exacerbated by the fact that he was losing control. Yeah. And it got worse as the more control he lost. And it was like, yes, this is perfect. That's Dran. Okay.
I didn't realize that until you just said it. It's like...
Spiral.
As more and more control started to get taken away from Dran...
The crazier he gets.
The more, I don't know.
Desperate.
Yeah. Desperate and rash actions were taken.
You know, the interesting thing about this is that I never envisioned, in the beginning, never envisioned my character of Dran being like this. I actually envisioned Dran as being more of like a good person, but it was all just because of one small thing that changed it all, which was the fact that, and I've talked about this previously, when Bleez Euros showed up at his, you know, apartment, and I assume it was apartment, at his apartment, and Jordan, just as the GM, just would not let him leave, and he just kept prodding, and I, as a player, was like, not going to do anything about it. It was just like, get out of here, I hate you, but since he pushed me so far as a player... I was just at the point where I'm just like, this guy's not going to go away. I'm just going to kill him. You know, it was like this rash decision of like, Jesus, can you just go away? Well, now you deserve this.
Right.
So then that moment.
No, to anybody who's ever Carlin's house.
Yeah, that completely twisted Dran.
Yeah, that one small thing is what ended up in my mind after that gaming session defining my character. And I was like, because that's very... That's a very crazy thing to do. I mean, it really is.
Mm-hmm. And
I was trying to do the same thing today.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you notice that Head Himmel said everything that Dran wanted to hear.
Head Himmel.
I tried very hard to make it, to steer it in a way that it was everything that Dran would want to hear about, you know, respect and you know, paranoia and...
Yeah. And Johnny and I were having this, like, mimed conversation about it. Like, that's not
how Greg Randall
is. That's not how he was made. Like, that's really, like, taking him out on a limb there. But,
yeah,
no. GM. Flirted with it.
GM initiative.
Caveat. Yeah. I can make any crazy.
No, we didn't protest what you did. We just...
It was interesting during that scene, looking around the table and seeing all of your guys. You're just like looking around, going, "What is going on? Why is this character?"
Well, at first, I was confused, like, "Why is someone going straight to Dran?"
Oh, first I was confused, like, "All right, how did Himmel get past Robinson, and why would Robinson just let him go in?"
I'm talking about at the very beginning, at the very first meeting.
Yeah, where he's just talking Dran up, and
yeah,
when Dran recruited him as a spy.
Now, the question, was that Himmel or was that Head Himmel?
That is the question.
I'm pretty sure it's Ed Himmel, and the funny thing about that is, like, he's real undercover then.
You know, because as soon as Dran is, like, asking for Himmel to be in this big meeting and everything like that, I'm like, well, that's hilarious, because that wasn't who he was talking to. So this guy was literally dragged into this conversation, not knowing what was going on.
That, now that makes sense. That's the reason why he was just standing there doing absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
It's like,
This is an underling who is all of a sudden thrown into an inner core meeting.
Yeah, with all the leaders.
So that makes much more sense now.
From a story perspective, I mean, that's a pretty genius twist on the GM's part, Jordan. So good job.
Well, thank you.
Give yourself a hero point. Now you have to give it away.
All right. So character advancement.
Character advancement. This one is difficult.
Yeah, I definitely go towards
Masters.
Masters.
Yeah, I got to go Masters because... His character did a 180.
I mean, I felt like Masters did a lot of stuff this session, which is great. Awesome for Jeff for being able to do a lot of things. But I felt like Jeremy had a lot of advancement with Orion because he was standing up for the Jaguars, which is a position that he would have never had taken. You know, so it was like...
I see what you're saying.
But I feel like as far as like his character's personal goals and everything, for like everybody to have respect for that chain of authority, now it's very confusing.
I would beg to differ. I think it's more clearly defined now.
Because Burntail has said, I don't want anything to do with Dran Renner.
Mm-hmm. I have the Jaguars going through me. I've got Aurora going through Orion. Dran is pretty much shoved to the side now because of he felt he was losing control and sort of lost it.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I still say Masters. It's just, it's more clear at the end of this session that Masters has come a far ways. Orion, I can see that he's making steps, but it's not clear to me that he has made those steps at the end of this session. Like, I can see how they could work to his advantage, but he's got a bunch of messes now.
Yeah, I'd say if we played another one or two sessions tonight... I could see that going to Orion.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Willis Masters' character is really branched out now.
Oh, geez.
I couldn't resist. I'm sorry.
We're going to lose listeners.
Well, I mean, I don't see how we would lose listeners. I mean, all of these jokes are rooted in what happened.
Yeah, buddy.
Oh, I love puns so much.
You are so soiling the name of this podcast.
It's just fertilizer for things to grow.
No, stop.
Oh, okay, so I officially vote for Jeff Willis Masters.
Yep.
For that.
Masters.
Yeah. All right. That's your point, Jeff.
Sweet.
Woo-woo!
Okay, now put that in some other crazy French flu magic thing.
All right.
I'm going to build up my French flu
NPC
as much as I can.
NPC. Who had the best NPC?
Oh, man.
I had zero NPCs.
Yeah, me also.
Himmel?
These two were the only one. Jeremy and Stephanie.
We both were Robinson.
They both played Robinson.
That was kind of a toss-up.
Yeah. Well, I played Dan Jindal, too.
Oh, yeah, you did play Dan.
I would say Jeremy played Robinson.
I think it'd go to Jordan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Himmel. Can it?
I mean,
well, we did.
Well, the NPC does go to, is a giveaway.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I'd give it to Jordan because Jordan...
He played a lot of NPCs this time.
Yeah.
And especially the whole,
That
Gregory Himmel thing.
That's one thing I enjoyed role-playing.
Was...
This time more than any other time, even though I thought it was good the other times. The whole... I thought you saw more of the difference in... Aurora and Orion.
Yeah.
With how you were role-playing and Orion's response to. I really...
You just like smacking her down verbally. Jeez.
No, her
reactions were slightly different with other people around than it was with just the two of them.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas his reaction stayed constant.
Mm-hmm.
Right, yeah. But, I mean, what I was trying to say is you could... really see how, Jordan, you kept trying to push the buttons.
Mm-hmm.
And
always trying to push those buttons.
You can kind of see it coming to a head that every now different button you push, those options are now no longer available for you to push those buttons anymore. He's like weeding out everything that you that Aurora can do to get under his skin until there's nothing left.
You know, it was crazy because when you said, I want to have a meeting with Aurora, just the two of us, I'm like, oh, wow, crap.
Here we go.
This is going to get physical here. But it didn't, which kind of surprised me because it was all business. And I'm like, well, we can go ahead and back off and be business.
Well, because Orion wouldn't have had a one-on-one meeting with her other than business.
Yeah. No matter what she wants.
Even if that business was SmackDown.
So, but...
No matter what she wants. I mean, it's all business all the time. There's no party in the back when it comes to Orion James.
I don't even know what that means.
It's a reference to mullets.
Yes.
Business in the front, party in the back.
Indeed.
Well, it's really ugly.
Yes. Yes, they are. That's why they have gone.
Any listeners with mullets.
But they were very popular in the 80s.
Hey, you have just gotten rid of all our mulleted listeners.
I'm sorry. Thanks. My apologies. It's okay. My character's going to die next session anyway.
But yeah, I really like the way Aurora was played.
I like the way Himmel was played.
Yep, all of it.
Mm. Head Himmel.
Head Himmel.
Head Himmel.
Jordan, you are the master of the universe.
I am He-Man.
All right, now give it away.
You don't get to keep anything.
So sad. I don't get to keep anything for myself. I give. I'm going to give this one to Jeremy.
Woohoo! Sounds good.
Okay. Let's see what we got next.
Snacks.
Snacks is hard today. There's a lot of good stuff.
I liked the chocolate bark.
That was good.
Yeah, that was really good.
Yeah, I brought some bark. These things called bark thins, and they're like natural.
That one's gone.
Snacks. It's like different types of chocolate. We had one that was dark chocolate with pretzel pieces and sea salt, and then one that was milk chocolate with peanuts and sea salt. They're tasty. Salty and savory is always really good.
Give it a chance.
Sweet and savory.
Fairly.
Yeah. Oh, sweet. Yeah, that's what I meant. That's salty and savory.
It's kind of the same thing.
Maybe I am Dran. Oh, I'm going crazy.
Then we also had a rotisserie chicken, which was fantastic.
It's outstanding.
Yeah.
And some.
We also had some barbecue that Johnny brought,
which was outstanding.
Yeah, it was
some queso.
Some queso. We called this.
Was outstanding.
Yes, it was outstanding.
Tag team queso. You heard the phrase "tag team queso" come up a little bit. That's the new band that we're starting. but really, what happened was Jeff and Jeremy tag teamed the queso. One provided the cheese; the other provided.
It wasn't
the
really a tag team. I just offered bacon at the last second.
So therefore, the point goes to Jeremy if that wins.
What?
You make everything better with bacon.
True friends offer bacon.
Indeed.
Tag team queso.
All
we take turns being cheesy.
Well, full disclosure. Full disclosure.
This is what happened here today.
I'll give full disclosure, I didn't really eat much of anything. I brought my own food because I'm kind of like trying to stick to a certain diet. But I was very impressed by the looks of the queso. It looks really good, but I kept myself away from it. So based on the fact that it was hardest to hold back from not eating the queso, I will vote for the queso.
It was also hardest because it was right in front of you the whole time.
Yeah, that queso didn't leave the table at all.
Nope.
Yeah, so my vote's for queso.
Well, I mean, half of it's gone.
Well, yeah, I mean, the part that we ate is gone, but...
Tag team queso.
I don't
know. I don't actually like queso, and I'm not going to vote for my own, even though I really like it.
Those chips that were brought were also really good.
I didn't try those chips.
The natural chips.
I'm voting for the barbecue, Johnny.
So, barbecue, queso.
What am I voting for? I don't know, the dark chocolate pretzel bark thin thing.
You did eat almost all of it.
Pretty awesome. Yeah.
Those things were, that was gone in like an hour. I didn't even get to try it.
That was gone in like 10 minutes. Yeah.
They do taste good.
It was pretty awesome.
That was a close second.
I'm gonna have to ask you where you got that.
Yeah.
Wegmans.
Wegmans, okay.
Okay. Yeah, that was pretty awesome. I really liked my queso, but that bark thins was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
I was very sad when halfway through recording the middle section, I kind of held out my hand and knocked over my plate. Oh. And like all of my bark thins that I had just put on my plate had fallen onto the carpet. It was sad. Also the chicken buns.
It's not sad about that.
It's like,
this is Bone Throwers.
It is.
Literally threw bones.
Yeah. Well, dropped.
Knocked him over.
Special pun edition.
Indeed.
Call that. That's the name of this episode.
Well, I think the thing is that it's been about a month, over a month since we got together. Mm-hmm. So. Mm-hmm.
Well, it's been 2 months since we've done Bone Throwers. For this storyline.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we won't talk about what we did otherwise.
Yes.
That's a secret.
Surprise!
Hello, future people.
And hello, Jeff.
We can say we recorded a special episode.
We recorded a special episode that will be released in the future. A
special series.
Yeah. Episodes. Yeah.
Jeff, you're going to want to hear it.
I am going to want to hear it, because I don't know what happened.
It was pretty epic. if we can talk ourselves up a little bit.
It was good.
It was fun.
I vote for the chicken.
Chicken, two. So one chicken.
There was one chicken, one barbecue,
one
queso,
one bark thins, one queso.
Johnny, you get to decide, sir.
Whoever you decide, they're getting it.
Yep, there's one for everything.
Unless he goes, oh yeah, there isn't anything else.
Yeah.
It's all been tackled.
There's the BB balls.
That's
Park Arlen's.
The PB pops. Peanut butter.
I can't read it from this angle.
And the Dude Ranch sour cream chips.
Those were good.
I'm going to have to go with chicken.
Yay.
I can't help myself. I love meat.
The chicken was really good.
I call foul on that.
Oh, you guys are bringing in my headache.
Well, add another character point to your sheet and see if that takes it away.
Is this worse than being in the bee cave?
Yeah.
Possibly. Oh. I might start kicking the rest of you in the stomach.
Puns. Oh my goodness. So do you guys, last time we had a commentary episode, we kind of went over some of the GMing stuff. Was there anything that you saw that could be improved upon? Things that...
I only noticed one thing.
Yeah.
And that was the tribe of the, what is it, the
nine claws?
One time you mentioned it's tribe with 10 claws.
That was intentional.
Point. Okay.
That
yeah, because they were 10 claws until the Amu's and
Ka's. That's what I had thought, but.
Yeah.
I thought in particular that the fact that you always have kind of like this secret agenda. Well, not always. So that's the good thing
about
it.
You make us think you have a secret.
Right. Every now and then there's this secret agenda which kind of pops up when we're not expecting it. So we may think that one thing's about to happen, but then something else happens and it becomes clear like at the end of the session. Like in this case, and has happened other times too. And that's always great because it keeps things really fresh.
Yeah.
Like we may have in our minds something kind of planned out and it keeps us on our toes and always able to like change up our way our characters are going to react to things based on the craziness that gets injected in.
I don't know how many times
craziness
in this case.
I don't know how many times this session where somebody said, I was like, all right, we're going to set this up. And then you would start to talk about something, and I was like, all right, what's going to drop now? Because something's about to happen that's not expected.
I think pretty much any time I open my mouth and just don't let you guys roll with whatever you want to do.
Yeah, it's like, okay, something's about to go down, which I like.
Yeah.
I can't remember if we mentioned it on air or not, but the just rolling the initiative for the conflict.
Yeah.
That was one thing, and something that's
I don't know, it seems kind of weird to me, is when you have various people rolling command, and the opposed roll to that is wit.
Yeah, I mean...
could it be just straight up command versus command? Because it makes sense. Well, wouldn't make sense if they both
have command, maybe.
If they both have command, like, if we're contesting for command, like, Dran and Orion are contesting for command, and Dran spits out something, and he's, what have you got in command?
3D plus 2, about to be 4D.
Yeah, so he's got 4D, and Orion has 5D plus 1.
Command those bees.
But if he spouts out a command, I have to roll wit against it, which my wit is only 2D. And okay. It's kind of like...
Yeah, I can see where that...
Yeah.
I mean, I've been just thinking of the wit as the catch-all for the mental attacks. Mm-hmm. And whenever something like that comes up where you want to resist, I consider that to be an attack.
Well, yeah. I mean, I would say, but if you have the same skill that you're being attacked
with... Yeah, I see where
you're going. To roll that skill in opposition to it. Okay. I mean, it's...
I think it would only apply if you were trying to compete for that same thing.
Well, the example was...
if you're caught off guard and he's trying to command you, you're going to be more susceptible to the command.
Not really, because the example was in that altercation with Dran and Burntail, where Jindal said, "All right, everybody stop." And rolled command for that, and we had to roll wit against that.
Yeah.
But in all reality,
yeah.
It wouldn't have mattered what Jindal had said. Mm-hmm. Orion would have kept doing what he thought he
needed to do. Especially because of the chain of command.
Yeah. Right. So.
Along those same lines, something that I noticed was the... when you're wounded, are we applying the wounded penalty to knowledge, skills, the...
Oh, by looking at the wounded chart, I always kind of just assumed it applied to everything.
Yeah, well, that's how you've been playing it.
Oh, okay.
I just know, like, when I'm GMing Star Wars, you know, it applies to everything unless it's a direct knowledge roll, unless you have, a brain injury. Because, you know, your brain is not part of your leg, you know?
Right.
The specific way that it reads in the rules is for all remaining actions.
Okay.
Well, it may also be the pain is distracting you from remembering something or thinking.
Yeah. So I wanted to make sure that's how we were actually playing it.
Yeah, that and I try and stick as close to the rules that's as fine. Possible.
I'm not debating it.
So
just clarifying.
Yeah. I had to look it up to verify, but yeah, that's how it is in the actual rules. Yeah. So also one thing to plug: Mini Six for a while was out of print. They now have the rules up on lulu.com. So if you want to go and get it, pick up a copy of it in print, it's only $7. So I think that's probably one of the most affordable gaming systems out there. Yeah. You can also download it for free from the website if we haven't mentioned that before. And that would be www.antipaladingames.com. So we... obviously enjoy the system quite a bit and highly recommend it. So,
true
that. So what are some things that you guys want to see coming up in the next few episodes of Bone Throwers Theater?
I want to turn into Kerrigan, Queen of Blades.
I want to see a throwdown in the cave.
Yeah, I thought that was where it was going today.
We talked about some possibilities for the throwdown of the cave.
We did talk about possibilities. You do realize that the cave throwdown is going to limit what you can do.
Yeah.
Because there's no plants in the cave.
Mm-hmm. Unless they're plants.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, but still.
Oh, it's going to be interesting.
See, I don't know what I necessarily want to see happen, but I do know that I'm interested to see how everything's going to play out with Dran's character.
Mm-hmm.
Because from the one roll that I made to kind of figure out if there's something awry or not, I succeeded in that. So I don't know if that means that Dran is kind of aware that he's losing it at that point, or just thinks that something's kind of I don't know. You know, like, well, and that's
he
the thing.
He did just suffer a head injury, so right, he right. may just be like...
So, as he potentially becomes more aware of what's truly going on and trying to kind of discern what's real, what's not real, how that ends up being covered up.
There could be... I mean, there's three possibilities that I can foresee for this. That, one, he's got a head injury, he's just hallucinating. Two, this is his crazy coming out. Well, actually, more than that, actually. Now, or a third option could be that he's got the French flu.
Yeah, but and I thought about that, but yeah, I don't, this is but the I don't know. He's having. I don't know where that would have come from, though.
Claws in you?
Well, yeah. No, because that happened to Orion and
he hasn't
Willis,
been tested
right?
since.
Yeah.
It's true, he hasn't been tested
since. Or, here's the big wrench. There is now a third entity... enemy.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. It's like
projecting thoughts.
That is infiltrating the group.
Yeah, it could be.
Aside from the Jaguars, aside from
that's
the
two saying, like, you know, it could be like a mist or something. Or
interesting ideas.
Different type of plant, like that's aromatherapy.
Oh no, we gave him ideas.
We gave him too many ideas. Yeah. If you are taking ideas, I would like
National Geographic. Here we come.
I would like magical powers.
And I would like to survive.
I just want to finish my net and shoot it at bees.
Yeah, I should be almost finished.
I think by right? this point, I mean, all you really needed was a new power core to test it, and
one more science roll and I have it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So,
unless it miserably fails.
I like watching Edric grow a backbone. It's entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, he tried the backbone thing a little bit with the. Military group when he was trying to give the grenades to Winters.
Mm-hmm.
But he also didn't want to push it too far. Because he is still a coward. He just...
I like how in that situation he was very much behaving more like a scholastic person than a military person. So, like, they're giving him orders and he's going, but I have to find the expert on this. I need this information. Like, she's the expert. I have to...
We need to get this peer reviewed.
Yes, but... Right. It was... Yeah.
Hear that.
That is what he thinks.
I know. And so. I liked it. It was very in character.
Oh my goodness. You guys, I think you...
You broke... We broke you.
No, I mean, it wasn't that. We broke the GM. Not this time.
Not this time.
We just slowed down the GM.
Yeah, you slowed down
the
roll.
The GM.
Oh.
No, I mean, because...
No.
Oh.
Did you just catch that?
That's what I went.
Stumped.
We've got so much leaving on the brain that we... anyway... The thing was, I was expecting you guys to land, you guys to go, all right, time to go fight, and then you just run off to the caves to bash stuff in.
Yeah, that would have been nice.
Guys. Well, we had to convince Grant.
There's no
way that was something that I was I kept noticing that you still had not reported that you found the what's her name, Captain James
Orion.
Yeah,
we did. Aurora.
No, to your father. To Orion's father.
No, that would have been the next thing.
Yeah, you still had not made communication to the Lunar Alliance that you found out what happened to.
That was definitely on my
Alpha
list.
Team.
But we never got to it. Because that was going to be the report right before we went to the cave.
Jordan, if... I totally thought when you said the bees started swarming over Miranda that you were going to go for the mouth again, because it freaks me out. And I was going to say, she bites them.
Oh.
Just, okay.
You know, the funny thing was, I was looking up pictures of Winnie the Pooh, trying to find that picture of him with, like, the hand covered in honey and bees, just, like, sticking it into it. I couldn't find it.
If you would have chomped on him, you'd get your vitamin B.
And vitamin F. Vitamin F squared.
Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. I think we're just going to call it a wrap there.
We broke the podcast.
Yeah.
Should we give a shout out to Jacques Laveau?
Yeah, Jacques Laveau. Yeah, go ahead.
So, Jacques Laveau, if you ever happen to hear this, I see your comments on the Firefly post on Google+. Just to let you know, we do not mean any harm against your name.
Yeah.
Purely but we think it's awesome. Yeah.
Well, it is important to point out that's Laveau, and we are Laveau. So.
And also Jacques Laveau is spelled differently, if yes. I remember correctly. Yes,
definitely is.
So.
It was just amusing.
It was amusing.
Quite.
Yeah. It's crazy to look at, like, some of the stuff that's coming out in science and the news and see, like, things that are getting closer and closer to what we actually said,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
in the original thing. Like the
I keep seeing things closer and closer to Star Trek.
Yeah.
Well, that makes sense. Star Trek is creating the future, yeah. There's a movie about that.
There
yeah.
is?
Yeah.
Hal William Shatner saved the universe.
Yep.
It was by spreading Canadian love. So
does not sound legitimate.
Anyway, we'll call that the end. Yes, we'll call that the end. Thanks very much for listening.
Thank you for listening to Bone Throwers Theater. The cast is Carlin, Jeff, Jeremy, Johnny, Jordan, and Stephanie. This podcast is released under our Creative Commons, Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivatives 3.0 Unported license. Please feel free to share the podcast, but please do not modify it or attempt to gain financially from it. To find the show online, visit our site, bonethrowerstheater.com. Our Twitter feed is @BoneThrowersTheater, and our email address is BoneThrowersTheater@gmail.com. Join our social networks on Facebook and Google+. Podcast art was designed by Laura Tress and is used with her permission. Until next time, may the bones fall in your favor. This has been a Nerd Circle podcast production.